Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, sometimes campaigns are affected by carefully scripted strategies. Sometimes you just get gifts like we got last night on CNN from Hillary Rosen, a longtime liberal activist, used to be head of the Recording Industry Association of America, someone who's certainly been a major factor in Democratic politics for a while. As you've discovered, among others, she's had quite a bit of access to the White House and is certainly a very prominent person in the Democratic Party. So she was asked to respond on CNN yesterday about Mitt Romney trying to turn the war on women around at President Obama by pointing out that most of the people affected by the president's dismal economic performance are women. In fact, his claim is that 92% of people who lost their jobs under President Obama are women. And, well, Hillary Rosen didn't like that, and so she tried to paint Mitt Romney as out of touch and old-fashioned, and here's what happened.
What you have is Mitt Romney running around the country saying, well, you know, my wife tells me that what women really care about are economic issues, and when I listen to my wife, that's what I'm hearing. Guess what? His wife has actually never worked a day in her life. She's never really dealt with the kinds of economic issues that a majority of the women in this country are facing in terms of how do we feed our kids, how do we send them to school, and how do we worry, and why do we worry about their future.
And you could then hear the forehead hitting the palms of people at Obama headquarters from across the country. Jim Messina and David Axelrod actually taking to Twitter to denounce them and suggesting that Hillary Rosen apologize. She did not do that. In fact, she doubled down on it. But Jim, if she ever does apologize to Ann Romney, she can then follow that up by apologizing to my mother, both of my grandmothers, and pretty much anyone who can tell her point blank that raising kids is definitely work. And as Ann Romney pointed out on Fox News not that long ago, Mitt Romney told her that her work was far more important than his when he was a very successful leader at Bain Capital and elsewhere during his career. So what we've basically learned is that, according to liberals, you only count as a woman if you follow their template for your life.
You know, it's not often on Three Martini Lunch that we can really positively cite David Frum, formerly of National Review and now currently with the Daily Beast. But I'm just going to observe his latest post is a very simple explanation. It says, "Politics 101, don't attack motherhood." So I would say, you know, on the heels of this, I expect to hear Hillary Rosen wants to ban apple pie for health reasons and let's ban baseball out of injury risks or something and just go for the trifecta. Fascinating. Fascinating to see such an enormous unforced error. All morning long I've been emphasizing, like so as soon as, you know, Rosen made these inane comments and then, of course, turns around and starts insisting that, oh, I never really meant to attack her and all that kind of stuff. Like, one, this puts the spotlight on Ann Romney, who is, I would argue, 10 times more appealing as a public figure than Mitt Romney. She's unbelievably charismatic, has this lovely story, and no, she didn't, you know, necessarily work professionally. Otherwise, first lady of Massachusetts, she was involved in all kinds of different charities. But Ann Romney, only raising the five boys, had MS and breast cancer, all right? This is not someone who has laid around on the couch the whole time and is this, you know, terrible thing. To say nothing of the fact that this is the, you know, she's being attacked by the exact same party that thought there was absolutely nothing wrong with Teresa Hines Carey, the wealthy philanthropist wife of a political figure from Massachusetts just 8 years ago. Democrats thought having her as first lady was hunky-dory. Now, of course, you know, we're supposed to recoil in horror from Ann Romney being this. Oh, by the way, Hillary Rosen has visited the White House four times as often as CIA Director David Petraeus, three times as often as Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, twice as often as Secretary of Veterans Affairs Eric Shinseki, and Secretary of Energy Stephen Chu. That might be good news. I don't know. And slightly less often than Tim Geithner and Al Sharpton. So just kind of a fascinating example of who gets to go to the White House. The idea that Hillary Rosen is just some talking head with absolutely no ties to the Obama camp, the DNC, the Obama White House is kind of ridiculous. And it's kind of fun to watch all the Democrats scrambling to you know, try to distance themselves from somebody who's one of their own. And who I think kind of speaks for, I don't think this is a coincidental comment. This was not a slip of the tongue. I think it's very revealing that Rosen is not, presumably not capable of saying, you know, I misspoke. I shouldn't have said this. and Romney should not be an issue in this campaign, and, you know, just move on from there. It was kind of fascinating that she's just refusing to do that and doubling down. But she is a communications professional, Greg, not you and I. And she was the one. I mean, most of these White House visits were about consulting on the messaging for Obamacare. And I think you could say Hillary Rosen is the advertising genius who made Obamacare the popular success story that it is today. So thank God for Hillary Rosen. God bless her. And I hope that the Democrats do nothing but listen to her for the remainder of this campaign season.
Absolutely. Let's hope that gender gap on the female side narrows a little bit. It kind of dovetails a little bit, Jim. NRO, I think, on the corner yesterday had this exchange, you know, between Reince Priebus and one of the anchors over at MSNBC, who was trying to say to Priebus, well, how can you say there's not a Republican war on women when in these states where Republicans made big gains in 2010, there's a total of 90-plus pro-life measures? And Reince Priebus is basically saying just because somebody's pro-life doesn't mean they're anti-woman. There's this Democratic narrative. They love to think of people in monolithic groups, and there's no diversity whatsoever when they claim that they're the tolerant ones. And so when the one person that gets in the news doesn't fit their mold, they don't know what to do with it. We saw it with Sarah Palin, and Ann Romney's obviously very different than Sarah Palin, but when it doesn't fit their narrative, they're left sputtering, and hopefully this will be good for the Romney campaign. On to Martini number two now, and Jim, little bit of good news. According to the Treasury, in the month of March, for the highest amount of revenue coming in as a result of federal taxes since 2008, that's the good news. $171 billion, I think it was. However, we spent $369 billion. So that's about a $200 billion shortfall, give or take a billion. And so let's just say that the fiscal belt tightening must be something he's going to get more flexible on in the second term.
Yeah, I'm looking at this and marveling at this because, I mean, any reduction in the deficit, I suppose, is good news. I would prefer this be done through spending cuts rather than increased tax revenue, but hey, I'll take it where I can get it. But what's fascinating is $369 billion in 1 month. Greg, what are we spending this on? We're out of Iraq. We're finished with TARP. The stimulus is past and done. Where is all this money going? What is going on? You understand that obviously, you know, due to perhaps inflation or gas, that various areas the government might have to spend more. But if you'd said, do you think the government is spending last month, you know, the month of March 2012, more than it ever had before, I probably would have guessed no because of Iraq and various other factors, and no. Because the whole argument is, well, Bush's defense spending is what caused the deficit. No. No, it was not. We are spending oodles and oodles on everything, and you feel like we come up with a pile of magic beans or something that we traded the family cow for or something. So the whole argument of we can't cut spending, I think, gets shot to heck by this. But nonetheless, anytime your government says, oh, by the way, I spent a mere $370 billion in a month, that's kind of an ominous bad sign. And I mark that as my bad martini.
You know, there was a good movie in the 80s, Jim, called Brewster's Millions, where we were fascinated by his effort to spend $30 million in a month. You know, $369 billion, that would be utterly amazing to watch how that got spent, although it would probably make us pretty sick by the end of the film. On to martini number three now. And let's just say there are different creative ways to describe how this presidency has run over the last 3+ years and what people generally think of Obama. And the folks over at ResurgentRepublic.com have decided to basically grade the president based on different models of cars, since I guess because he's so proud of the auto bailout and he thinks he saved the auto industry. Jim, it goes from the positive cars to the negative cars, everything from very reliable to not really sure where he's going, and he doesn't know either. And Mercedes just spend. So different way to look at different people's opinions of this president.
Yeah, Resurgent Republic is an independent nonprofit organization. They do polling. Obviously, these guys are lean to the right, but they're officially nonpartisan. But they do operate from the right and promote conservative free market principles. And one of the things they're looking at is Obama independents, folks who voted for Obama in 2008 and are undecided on this cycle. They said, if Obama was a car, what would you think? And there were a couple of folks, they asked this in places like Richmond and Denver, you know, where they were trying to get, you know, two swing states. Some folks really did like Barack Obama, and they said, oh, he's a Ford Taurus. He seems like a reliable car that you see a lot. Another person said that he's a Volvo. They're known to be really safe. He seems to make safe decisions and thinks things through and lasts a lot of miles. Those are the positives. The negatives are more interesting and funny. The crossover SUV, I'm not sure he knows which way he wants to go or what he actually wants to be. He was compared to a Mercedes. They just spend and spend and spend. The Yugo, all flash and no dash. By the way, Greg, does a Yugo strike you as flashy?
No, not exactly.
The Corvair, it just doesn't last that long. The broken down junker, no hope of repair, no hope of salvage, just gone. I think we can chalk up that independent as lost. Some person said, I'd like to change the name and say he's a Ford Unfocus because he's a typical politician, says a lot of things and doesn't really back them up. One of the things I really kind of liked was the comparison of him to the Edsel. Out of touch with reality, a luxury mini car was one of my favorite comparisons. He says, like my car, when you're driving, you have it on cruise control and you hit a speed bump or something and it shuts off. It's a nice car, but there are some problems with it. It's very polished, very nice looking, a good car, but there are some problems. And I think that kind of strikes as a really interesting one. My favorite was the old Porsche. He looks good. He's really good at presenting himself, but do you really know what's under the hood? And kind of a fascinating, interesting metaphors, just to see how people are thinking about this. And if Obama, look, Romney's a car guy, and so if he can make the argument that Obama is this old Porsche that may look good, but you don't really trust what's underneath the hood, and can't really get you where you want to go, I think it's a metaphor that would work very well. I'm sure someone will argue that comparing Obama to an old Porsche is racist in some way, but I'd say go for it. Let's see, let's try to plant these seeds in the minds of the American electorate.
Yeah, my personal favorite, which is a commentary on Obama and the vehicle in question, the hybrid SUV trying to be all things to all people and being unsuccessful at all of it. Not necessarily convinced that Obama's trying to appeal to everyone just enough to get him reelected, but
worth knowing, all of these comments come from people who voted for him in 2008. And this is what this election really comes down to. Folks, look, there are 69 million people voted for Barack Obama in 2008. The Republicans need to win over some of these people. And by reinforcing this sense of disappointment and frustration and saying, look, now Mitt Romney and the Republicans are the party of change. If you're not happy with what you got, we can get you into something better. This is what they need to do, and I think it's a very intriguing intriguing metaphor, intriguing comparison, and intriguing area of public opinion research.
Well, Jim, I'm not sure what kind of car you consider yourself to be, but I guess I'll consider myself a Volvo or a Taurus, since that seems to be nice. People seem to like those, so I'll stick with that. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.